Guys, today we're in for a treat. We're actually going to be hearing from three incredible people in our church today. We're mixing it up a bit rather than someone preaching. We're going to be having an interview or a panel with three great people in our church. And today we're doing a deep dive on the topic of servanthood. Everyone say servanthood. And Jesus came to this earth, and a key verse I have for today is out of Matthew chapter 20. And Jesus said, I didn't come to this earth to be served, but to serve. And something we're passionate about as a church is we, as I said earlier, we're all growing to become more like Jesus. And this is a great topic where we can all grow to become more like our King and our Savior. Amen. And so can you guys please help me welcome up our panelists today? First of all, we have my beautiful wife, Ebony. We have the mighty Vito. And the beautiful Nikki. Let's give these guys a massive hand. Come on up. How awesome. So good. Come on up. Oh, Vito's running away. He's running away from us. Just joking. Awesome. How good is this, guys? How are you going today?
Yeah, good, thanks. Great.
That's good.
I just realized, like, how short my legs are compared to this cat. Like, I can't reach the... anyway, sorry.
That's all.
But yeah, I'm good. Morning, church.
It's a great revelation to have. Poor Brave. I want Brave to be a professional athlete, but he has no hope with our genes. Unless we pray and fast and God overrides our genetics.
He's already the 20th percentile in length,
man,
for his age.
Yeah, so. It's a sore spot for me. But anyway, all right, we'll move on. Well, guys, pretend someone here doesn't know you guys. Can you just quickly share a little bit about your journey? Ooh, bit of lightning. Can you just tell us a little bit about how long you've been coming to our church, maybe the season of life you're in? Are you working or just studying, mum life? And a bit about your family. We'll start with you, Eb.
Introduce myself.
Yeah, go for it.
My name's Ebony and I'm married to Dan. We're the location pastors here together, and I've been part of this specific church, C3 Powerhouse, since I was 3 years old, because we're one church in two locations. So our Sunshine Coast location, this location's only been here for 5 years, but our Sunshine Coast is like 30 plus years. And so my family joined the church back when I was three, and it's been my church home ever since.
That's so cool, 1996.
Oh, and my season of life, I'm a first-time mum to Brave, and so I'm actually still on maternity leave, so this is my full-time.
Oh, he's clapping you, mummy. He's clapping, mummy.
Thank you. That's the season of life I'm in at the moment.
Love that. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Nikki. My husband John and I have been attending this church for 5 years, which is crazy how quick that's gone. And along with our beautiful daughter Ashley, who's married to Tobias, and our younger daughter Hannah, she attends another church, but she's in her early 20s as well. And I work full time, and yeah.
That's so cool. Nikki loves this story, but I remember when John and Nikki first came to our church, she walks in with Ash, and Ash is obviously in her early 20s. And I thought, you guys have such good genetics. I thought they were three young adult friends. And so I kind of came up to John. I was like, hey, bruh, how you going? Like, treating them like young adults. Yeah, and then I found out you were Ashley's mum. But the ultimate compliment, I hope.
Yeah,
and Vito.
Hi, everyone. My name is Vito. I'm a husband to my beautiful wife, Colleen. I'm a dad to three beautiful girls, Samantha, Elisha, and Andrea. I teach in Swinburne, and yeah, I've been coming to church for 2 years now, but I've been attending a different C3 church since 2007, so yeah.
Awesome. Can we give these guys a big hand? I don't say this lightly. If any of you are looking for a spiritual mum, spiritual dad, a role model, three of the best in our church right here. But I think today we're talking about servanthood, so I'd love us all to go back. When did you first serve in church? So not necessarily this church, but when did you first serve in church and how did it come about? So I might go to you first, Vito.
Okay, this is very interesting because we started in C3 when we arrived in Australia in 2007. And we were serving back in the Philippines anyways, but we felt like we want to serve in C3. And the first role that I had was a setup crew. So yeah, so what that entails is we were just renting a place. We set up the chairs and pack it down afterwards. Lord's. So it's such a great experience to serve the church, because it's good for my health, because it's like you're lifting stuff. But at the same time, it's like, you know, people don't know what you're doing for them. And I love that season of my life.
That's awesome. I've heard if you're a single guy out there, there's nothing more attractive than how many chairs you can lift setting up for church. So maybe that'll work for some people. But Nikki, what about for you?
Yeah, I had to think back. I think probably my earliest recollection of serving, like deliberately serving, was when I sang in the youth band back at the Anglican church we used to go to. So that was when I was about, 14.
Wow. Awesome.
Yeah. And then, you know, different roles from there on. But yeah.
Are you happy to be a backup if Ash is ever sick and we need a worship leader?
Come on.
I heard that, yes, public.
Maybe.
That's awesome. So since you're 14, wow. Yeah. And what about for you, Ebony?
Yeah, I think most of my childhood, my parents were actually they led the worship team, and our church didn't have a facility like this, similar to Vito, and we were doing the setup and the pack down. So I think, like, really I started then at such a young age helping my parents. We had to fully set up the whole stage and everything every Sunday, and so I learned how to roll up the leads in a really good way that wasn't going to damage them. Yes, all the musos know, like, you don't just do it as tight as you can, and just things like that. But yeah, I honestly can't remember when I purposely started on a team, because I just think, because of my parents, I was always here and there was always something to be done. And I remember watching this elderly woman put flyers on seats, and she was so slow, and she was just hunched over. And I remember sitting there, like, I must have been like 10, and I was watching her going, like, I could do this in like 1 minute. She's taking forever. And so I offered to help, and just, I don't know, it kind of just started from there, and slowly, went through youth, and I don't know. And here I am, still serving, like, I don't know.
And what would you say to parents, like, as you reflect now in your 30s, early 30s, everyone?
Just 30, thank you.
Do you have a positive memory of serving as a child?
Yes, I do. I think, well, really, I think everything I'll share on this couch has come from my parents. Watching my parents serve, they've always just been lovers of the house of God, and I too just love the house of God. And I remember as a child coming to church early, leaving late, I just loved it.
That's
I
awesome.
Loved church. Beautiful. I loved house. And so yeah, amazing. If you are a parent, your kids are catching so much more than you probably realize. And I getting ready to talk on this panel, I look back and I just think my parents, even as a child, I did pick up on things happen in church because it's not perfect. People aren't perfect. And I can remember times where deep friends of my parents would leave, or the team would hurt my family or in some way, or just like unfortunate events happen when you do the longevity of church. And even as a child, I just remember picking up on things but never hearing my parents complain, never hearing them talk bad about Pastor John and Dan. My parents are still in church. In fact, my dad just stopped playing guitar on the band. He's like retiring at the start of this year after, like, I don't know, so many years. So anyway, they're still in church. And I just, so I'd say as parents, like, your children aren't naive. They will pick up on things and they're watching. And I don't know, just so much of my love for the house of God and essentially my relationship with Jesus, I think it has been a big part of watching my parents. So shout out to the parents that bring your children.
That's
and we
awesome.
See, we love having the kids at our Dream Team rally, and it's just, it's awesome. It's wonderful.
That's so special. Thank you for sharing that. I guess I'd love to ask, so everyone here has probably served the Lord for many years. You guys are just great role models. And I guess I'd love to ask, now looking back where you are now and over the years serving, what would be your revelation on servanthood? I might start with you, Vito. What would be like your revelation on serving?
It's, I think maybe I'd like to continue where Pastor Eb left off. It's the importance of serving the Lord with the family. Because while we were serving, the kids are also serving at the same time. So I remember when I was serving in C3, for example, we taught in kids' church, and for the longest time, that's our role. when Samantha grew up, she naturally, it's like Pastor Ebb, she naturally helped us. So while she is in Kids Church, she's also helping Elisha in Kids Church. So the most important revelation there is, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
So cool. Yeah. Wow, that's so special. What would you say, Nikki? What's your current revelation of servanthood?
I think, the Bible is just, and I know we'll probably talk about this a little bit more, but it's just full of references to serving. And Jesus was the ultimate example of servanthood. And I feel that, I guess, a little bit like what Eb was saying, the example, you know, in my life, the example of people around me, and the benefit that I got from people that served and served in God's house well, if that makes sense. You know, the youth leaders, you know, my parents coming consistently to church, my in-law, you know, before they were in-laws, they were my youth pastors, and, you know, their consistency and love for the church, you know. And so that was a great example to me, and sort of solidified that sort of feeling that servanthood was such an important part of life and church life. Yeah.
That is so beautiful.
Yeah, I think I still go back to when I was a teenager and in a youth conference or a youth camp. I can't remember, but I just remember there must have been an altar call moment, like as in a response come up to the front, if you want to give your life to Jesus, not just in your relationship with Jesus, but like your life, like actually do something with your life for him. And I remember as a teenager, like being there crying or whatever, just being like, yes, Lord, like have it all, take my life. But I always come back to that is serving for me. It's my expression of Jesus, I'm living for you. And every Sunday I want to serve you and build your church. And it's just kind of, I think my revelation is that surrender, that this is for you, Jesus. And I've always been like, okay, God, like I'm surrendering. What do you want me to do? Where's the need? And pretty soon something will catch my attention or someone will ask me to do something and I'll be like, yep, I've given my life to Jesus. I want to do this. And out of that, I just think there's no greater joy than doing that. And I keep coming back to it even now because, that's my revelation.
I think that's awesome. And I love you sharing that you come back to it now. And a revelation I've had is you don't outgrow servanthood. It's not like a season and then it's, I can tick that, I've served. And now, like Jesus gave that example that all the way to the cross and beyond, he was serving us. And I love that. We don't outgrow servanthood. And Ebony always reminds me of that scripture. Do you know that verse that says, zeal for the house of the Lord has consumed me? And that is Ebony Frecker. She is zealous for the house of God. When I need to kick up the bottom, she'll give it to me to help me stay in that sweet spot. And I love that about you, Ebony. But I guess I'm going to throw this out to whoever would like to answer. How has serving helped your personal relationship with God as you reflect on the years?
I think one thing I love is when you put yourself in a position where you work on a team, you learn people from the team members. They all have different gifts that they bring to the table and different words and encouragements. And that's really building of encouraging to you personally and to everyone. I think that everyone that serves. So that's one thing that's... Yeah,
I love that. That's so cool. One of my groomsmen I met serving together at church. And I actually met my wife serving together at church. So what do we say? Not at the club, we met at church. So that's a good place to meet your future spouse, not in the club. What about for you, Vito?
I guess for me, you ultimately serve the Lord anyways. Mm-hmm. So when you serve in the house, it's really drawing you near Christ anyways.
Beautiful.
Simply because you meet people passionate along the way, just like Nikki and Pastor Ev, for example. The fire that they have, they rub off on you anyways, and then you sense that, they're so close to God. Yeah. I want to be closer to God as well. It's such a bit of an inspiration.
Yeah.
So awesome. Yep. Would you add to that?
I think I just got reminded of when I went through graduating school and kind of that young adult season. And I'd say, like, serving, we don't really, like, make this a positive about serving, but it honestly gave me a reason to come to church through maybe seasons where I was a bit wobbly, or seasons where all my friends weren't coming or dropped off. And I think serving, there is a level of accountability. Like, if you've said that you're going to help and you're going to be at church at a certain time, like, there was something in me, again, probably my parents drilled this into me, that, like, if you've given your word to something, you go through with it. And so I had this almost guilt some Sundays that I'm like, oh, I don't want to go to church, or I'm not feeling it, feel far from God, whatever. But I was like, I've said I'd help, so I showed up anyway. And not that you want to live your whole life that way, because that's can be religious, but for that season in my life where all my friends kind of walked away from God, I was there on Sunday. It just kind of kept me in. And of course, God spoke to me in that season while in this vicinity, working shoulder to shoulder with people who are on fire for God, and it helped me stay in. I guess, can I just say, like, as a pastor, I think sometimes I see, or people tell me, oh, I'm just going through a rough season, so I'm going to have a break from serving. I don't think I've ever seen that really work. I was literally trying to remember who's done that well, and unfortunately, I couldn't think of, particularly in that vulnerable season of a young adult, I'd say, or a teenager or something. And again, you don't want it to become religious, but I think that scripture where it's like, when all else, just stay standing, like, just keep showing up, keep doing it, and you'll get through. So that's how I could see a season in my life where I could have walked away from God, but I didn't. And I think serving is what kept me in the house of God there.
Yeah. Come on, go give Ebony a hand. How awesome is that? I love that. I think Toby has a few stories of that, but I'll let him share.
Of what? Of not serving?
I don't know. They're M15 rated. I guess I'd love to ask everyone, as you, once again, we're reflecting, is like, do you feel serving helped you discover your purpose? And so we hear a lot about in church life that God has a calling for each of us, a destiny, a purpose. And I just guess would love to hear you guys honestly reflect, where has serving intersected with you discovering that purpose that we talk about? So I'd love, anyone can kick us off with that.
I think I can go first. I am a naturally curious person. I love to study. I love to teach. And my serving the church really validated my purpose in terms of, really, you can teach, you can explain things, you can also serve. Then it basically deepened my purpose even further, because it will just be a very shallow purpose if it's just, you know, working in the secular world, because, well, that's part of my ministry. But serving in church also helped me cement that, understanding that my purpose is really to teach and to serve and to encourage people.
That's incredible. So what I'm hearing is you discovered that gift of teaching on your life, and a part of that was through serving.
Yes, definitely.
Wow. And now, Pastor, you do that as a career. That's awesome. I love that. Wow. What would you say, Eb?
Yeah, I mean, it's become it's shaped my whole life. I never had a dream or desire to become a pastor one day. In fact, growing up in church, working with my family that's heavily involved in seeing what Pastor John and Dan do, I think, and never liked talking in front of people or anything like that. I think if I had the choice, I would have been like, no way, I don't want to do that with my life. But it's literally been through serving, just small thing after small thing. It's just grown into now being a location pastor. I honestly, if you just like, I could do a timeline of, oh, I just started helping in kids' church, and then at the same time was helping in the youth band, and then my kids' church pastor got me to like lead the praise and worship in kids' church. And I remember she was like, Ebony, you're going to be a worship leader one day. She's like, look at you, you can lead these children in worship. You lead them in the presence of God. And she taught me, she was like, go home, find the presence of God for yourself so that you can lead children there and lead others there. And then when I was like 15, she told Pastor John, hey, Ebony's really good at worship leading, you should get her to do it on big stage. Next minute, I'm in big church leading worship. And then at the same time leading a little connect group in kids and then in youth and then helping junior high and then helping youth and then becoming a location pastor. I guess like it's just always been just, God, I'll do whatever and I'll serve you, and things have opened up. And so, I mean, that's within ministry, I guess. Yeah.
Wow. It reminds me, Toby says this quote, I love it, from Rich Wilkinson. It says, if you're too big to serve, you're too small to lead. And basically what that's saying is serving is the doorway into our destiny. Yeah. And if we ever have an attitude that, oh, I'm too important to serve, yeah, or too big, yeah, to serve, that you're then too small to lead. And God is always looking for a servant heart. If you want to be used by God in any way, not just ministry, he's looking for a serving heart. Yeah. That attracts God. Yeah. And whenever that's not our motivation, it actually repels God in a way. And so I love that. We've got to fight for that servant heart. Yeah. And I think your story is so inspiring. Yeah. That's beautiful. Nikki, what would you say as you reflect?
I think that, you know, we're all called to display God in different parts of our lives. And church is one of those areas where... we love Louis Giglio, and he says, what's our purpose in life? To know God and make him known. And I think, like, that's just, you know, in terms of church life, we can do both. We learn about God, and when we also have the opportunity to use the gifts God's given us to serve other people, to bring other people into the kingdom, and, like, if that's not purpose, I'm not sure what is. So, yeah.
That is amazing. I remember when we first started our church, we met in the Karolika Centre, and John and Nikki were two of our first Dream Team members, and I remember it so well. I remember Nikki and I, we were washing up. Yeah. Do you remember that? We just had like a cool moment of just reflecting. And I just think our church is built because of people like John and Nikki. Let's honour these guys. You guys have been serving for 5 years in our church location and just absolute heroes. I'm going to go off script. I'm known for this. And I'm going to go to Vito because he's a lecturer, so you should have an answer. I'd love to ask, so we're talking a lot about serving in church, but Jesus, like, servanthood's a characteristic. It's a heart position. And so it's in church and out of church. So for you, and I might ask you as well, Nikki, so what does serving look like in your career, in your Monday to Friday?
Yeah, so it's basically a reflection of what I do in church anyways. So I go to work and I serve students. So some of them are doing research. Some of them are learning their coursework. So it's serving in that capacity. But as an academic, we're also called to do three things anyway. So we're teaching, we're serving, and at the same time, we're also doing research. So part of our service is really to identify societal issues that needs research. So that's the reason why I have like industry partner, and then I serve them by looking at their problems and doing some research to address those problems.
Love that. So, it's serving's not your Sunday thing. It sounds like what I'm hearing is, no, serving is something I do, and I do it wherever God places me. That's awesome. Would you add to that, Nick? You don't have to.
I mean, working in retail and in the pharmacy area, there's definitely servanthood there, like literally serving customers, but also just the people, the needs of the people that come in sometimes, and, you know, sometimes... you know, it gives me the opportunity to pray for, not pray out loud, but, you know, if someone comes in and they've looked like they've got having cancer treatment or something, you know, I can just pray in my heart for them. Or, you know, even with the people that I work with, so there's definitely opportunities there to serve as well.
Love that. And when I read the Gospels, I notice Jesus, he wherever he went, he served. Servanthood isn't something we do. Servanthood is who we become. And I love hearing that wherever God places us, we can serve him and we can serve people. And that's in the house of God, that's in our retail job, wherever God places us, we can do that. I'd love to ask you, Nikki, I guess, so the reality is some people here we have 90 people who serve on our dream team, which is that they're heroes. Some people haven't started that journey yet. But for those who are serving right now, we're going to begin today. It's easy to serve when life's going well and I'm feeling motivated. Yeah. I'd love to ask you, Nikki, what has kept you serving maybe in seasons where life was a bit more challenging or the motivation was lacking. What would be one thought from you?
I feel like I've been very blessed in the sense that I have a very strong ingraining of God wanting me to serve. The seasons, like, yes, you know, in reality, you may need to drop back a little bit, you know, if you've had a baby or, you know, whatever the case may be. But in terms of continuation of serving, I feel like, because it was such a part of my heart to begin with, I never really had that feeling of, oh, yes, I have the feeling, sometimes I don't feel like it, you know, but in terms of actually turning my back on it, yeah. But I think that we can ask God for strength as well, and we don't have to be afraid of just, you know, anything small in God's kingdom is something, is a start, you know. Yeah, yeah.
That is so inspiring.
Pastor Dan, can I add to that? There's a Bible verse, I'm paraphrasing here, but it talks about being ready in season and out of season. And there's another Bible verse that talks about being ready like a soldier. So, of course, that pertains to preaching the word, but we can also apply that to our ability to serve God's people anyways. So, like, say, for example, when we had Andrea, we never stopped serving. We were continuing to lead, say, for example, our Connect group back then. But, like, we're just basically having Andrea and carrying her while we're facilitating the group discussion. So in different seasons, yes, there will be times where you're not really, like, you don't have the passion to serve, but it's really that being ready in season and out of season and having that stance as a soldier so that you'll be ready to fill in any gap, just like what Pastor Eb was saying.
And I guess, would you like to add that or even just share what's the key verse that stands out to you? So you can answer either, like, yeah, what's helped you through challenging seasons, and, yeah, what's a key verse that speaks to you about serving?
Well, I feel like they're two different.
Yeah, sorry, answer which other one you prefer.
exactly what's been said with difficult seasons. I guess coming from something, conversations I've had with people and things that I've noticed as a pastor, I feel as though we sometimes cut ourselves short and think, oh, it's all too much, or it's like I've got this personal situation going on, so I need to stop serving. And I often feel, and I don't always get to say because it's not very nice for people to hear, but I often feel like you've got more to give. Like, you actually are selling yourself short. Like, you actually can carry more capacity than what you actually think. And I don't think we let ourselves get to our capacity. Like, you don't know until you give it a go and you try. And then, of course, you evaluate and things. But I often see, you know, if life is hard, the best place you should be is here in the presence of God. Not this should be one of the first things to go, because life will get harder. And it does. Like, we watch it and it's heartbreaking and it's hard because it's like, oh, I just wonder if you just held your ground. I love that. Like a soldier, I'm just going to hold my ground, weather this season and trust God and see it through. And so, do you want me to answer the scripture one? There's lots of scriptures that I've always, like, held on to and referred to, but the one I really love is in 2 Samuel. It's a whole chapter, actually, and it's King David, and he's sitting in his beautiful home, and he says, how come I've got this beautiful space, but there's nowhere for the presence of God to dwell? And it's David gets this burden in his heart to build a church, or build a place, a meeting place for the presence of God to go, and so God tells him, yes, like, build me a place where I can dwell and where people can come and be safe, and it's a place of rest from enemies and et cetera, et cetera. And then at the end of it, God says, he says, and I will establish your kingdom forever. Mm. And from that scripture, it's something my dad used to say all the time, and he'd say, build God's house and he'll build your house.
That's
so, like,
awesome.
Build a place for God, like, build the house of God and he'll build your house. And that's just something I've always held on to. And I love that whole passage is really awesome, the way you get to hear David's heart for the house of God, but then hear God's heart to be in a place where people can come and find safety and refuge and this beautiful, amazing place, which is the house of God. And then at the end, it's like God then says the blessing over David and over his children and descendants and his kingdom out of that. So yeah.
Love that verse. It's something in our marriage, we're building our family on that revelation, aren't we? It's beautiful. Nikki, what would be a Bible verse or passage that stands out to you? Sorry, we're putting you on the spot as well.
I did write one down because, as Eb said, there's a lot of verses in the Bible. And it was funny because I was like, oh, is there a specific verse that talks about serving? I wasn't 100% sure, if you know what I mean, because I know that Jesus is the example of serving and, you know, the gifts and that sort of thing. But yeah, I found one and I'm like, oh, that's exciting. Okay, so 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11 says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ, and to him be the glory and the power forever and ever. So I thought that's like...
Wow. I love that.
Good summary.
Yeah, that's so cool. Oh, I've so enjoyed this panel. I guess, Vito, my final question, and then I'll get Pastor Deb to pray. I'd just love to ask, when would you say you first encountered God, and was that linked to what you've been sharing around your serving journey?
Yeah, that's a very fascinating question, Pastor Dan. Before I actually became a born-again evangelical Pentecostal Christian, I am a Catholic, and I served in church as an altar boy. So I was young. Basically, I would wake up early in the morning and just serve in church. I am part of the choir when I was in primary and secondary school. So I thought that will earn my salvation. Until there's a revival back in the Philippines in the 1980s, and I was attending a university, and somebody approached me and say that, what's your guarantee that you will go to heaven? And I said, well, I've been serving Jesus as all my life, I was telling him. But I was confronted with the fact that, everybody can serve, but is that really how you will earn salvation? And that's how I learned that it's about personal relationship with God. And he was also asking me, if you die today, will you have the assurance that you have that particular salvation that you're talking about? And I thought that, it's really true. If it's service that earns your salvation, then rich people who are serving, just like Bill Gates or whoever has the money to serve and be an entrepreneur and serve people will basically be saved. But it's really our personal relationship with God. So that's how I now compartmentalize the fact that, yes, I'm serving, and yes, I'm serving Jesus, and I'm serving his people, but my personal relationship with God is the most important bit.
Wow. That is such a powerful revelation. And I think if there is anyone here who doesn't have a personal relationship with Jesus, in a moment, we'd love to give you that same opportunity that a friend gave you or a pastor. That's amazing, Vito. I guess, Ebony, before we close this out, could you just pray for everyone here? Can you just pray why don't you pray for our current dream team, just for God's hand to be on them, to bless them, and just that this revelation of servanthood in all of us would catch our heart. So if you could pray for us, it'd be awesome.
Yeah, awesome. Everyone, close your eyes. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this time together in your presence, Lord, and over this discussion on serving. Lord, I just pray for all of us, God, that you would anoint us and you would help us, Lord, to replicate Jesus in the way that we serve and we love other people. We love people. And Father, I just pray, God, that your grace would be upon us for this, over our church, Lord, that we would be known as a people who love and serve others, God, that we'd be people who love the house of God, that want to see your kingdom won, and just this place expanded, Lord, that you would just put that burden in our heart, Father. Lord, that you would open our eyes and ears to see and hear, God, the need or where you're calling us to, that every single one of us have a part to play in building your church. So, Father, I pray that you would just help us, God, open those doors for us, Lord. And God, I just pray for our dream team. Father, we just thank you for them. Lord, I thank you, God, just as that passage in 2 Samuel says, as people build your church, you will build their home. That, Lord, there is a special favor and blessing on people, God, that prioritize and put your kingdom first, Lord. So, Father, I pray for them. Lord, I pray strengthen them. Anyone going through a season of just losing their passion or losing the joy in serving, Father, I pray, God, that you would just put a steadfast spirit in them, God, through this season. As you're growing and expanding them, Lord, I thank you, Jesus, that revelation and joy will come, Lord. And God, I just pray that you just help us all, God, as you're building your church, help us as we partner with you, Father, that we will see more people come, that we will see just children and youth and just the generations come, Lord. Father, as we serve and build your church, Father, we give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Church, can we please give our three panelists a massive hand? Thank you so much, guys. Powerful revelation. So good.